All right, you can turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, way back at the back of your New Testament. 1 John, chapter 2. And I'll read the first 7 verses. You can follow with me in your Bible, if you would. The Bible says in 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things have I written unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you this evening for this Wednesday night service. Thank you for those who have come out on a Wednesday night. I know it's difficult, my Father, from coming from work and coming from the labors of the day, whether in the home or in the marketplace. Coming from school and, Father, getting here, and I pray you'd keep everybody awake, and I pray, Lord, that you might minister to our hearts. Thank you for their being here. They honor you with their presence, and I pray you'd honor them for honoring you. Now, my Lord, I pray that you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person to receive what's given tonight, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our brother John writes these words by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And John is our brother, as are all the other New Testament writers, as are all the other New Testament believers, all the men and women whose names we read who trusted Christ in the Scripture are our brothers and our sisters, and millions more who have trusted Christ in ages past and during this present age. Sometimes we forget the fact that all who have believed and have been born again by God's Spirit are children of the Heavenly Father. We belong to a big spiritual family. One day there will be a family reunion like no other family reunion. Amen. It'll be a reunion of all the children of God in heaven one day. One day, all of us, all the thousands of millions, Old and New Testament, will dwell together in perfect harmony and love. And sometimes we lose sight of this fact also. See, there are brothers and sisters we don't even know. There are brothers and sisters, perhaps, that I do not agree with. And there are brothers and sisters I don't even particularly like because I'm in the flesh. But one day I will love them with a perfect love and live with them in perfect harmony. So in verse 21, in verse chapter 2 and verse 1, God is talking to us and he says, his little children. And we're just that, we're little children. Right. No matter how old you are, no matter how mature you think you might be, no matter how educated, no matter how successful, we're just little children before God. Amen. And we often act like little children, even as adults. Sometimes we whine like little children, we cry like little children, we're jealous like children, little children, we fight like little children, we have grudges like little children. We may not be babes in Christ anymore, but we're still little children. We may have matured over the years and grown spiritually, but we're still little children. And if we are leaders, we are little children leading little children. I remember as a young person that even among my peers, there were leaders. Doesn't matter what age group you're talking about, there are always leaders in every age group, whether they're little kids, whether they're teenagers, whether they're adults. And so even little children are leaders among little children. John mentions that there is a visible evidence that shows two things. Number one, that we know the Lord. Number two, that we love the Lord. And that visible evidence is mentioned here in our text. It's keeping His commandments. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Does that mean perfectly and continually without fail? Well, of course not. It means that we have a concern and a desire and a drive to keep His commandments. It means that we value His commandments and seek to keep them as much as in us is by His grace and by the power of His indwelling Spirit. That's why God wrote verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Look at them for me. "My little children, these things write I unto you." Here's God's standard, that you sin not. Now, if we sinned not, we could keep His commandments, every jot and every tittle and every word, every moment of every day. But then He says this, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." It is God's will that we become more and more like His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as His born-again children of God. Paul wrote to the Galatians about this in Galatians 4:19, where he said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." And John assures us that one day we will be conform to Christ in our entirety, because in chapter 3 of 1 John, in verse 2, it says, "But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Right now, I want to be like Him. Right now, I'm trying to be like Him. Right now, God's trying to make me more and more like Him. But there's coming a day when Jesus comes and I see Him myself, it says, I'll be like Him. In every way. Be like Him in every way except deity. So when God found us, we were a sinful mess. Yes, you and I. He forgave us. He washed us from our sin in the blood of Christ. And at that moment, He began a work in us. A work of conforming us to Christ. And this is the promise of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "Be confident," being confident. Did you hear that word? "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So I have a confidence because I've trusted Christ as my Savior, that God is doing a work in me. He began a good work of conforming me to His Son, and He's going to perform it. In other words, He's just going to keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, until the day of Christ when I'm finally like Jesus in every detail. That means He won't quit. That means He won't give up on us until He has completed the work which He began when He made us His children. He promised to conform us, and conform us He will. But what about until then? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." So we're saying, well, first of all, we say, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. That's wonderful. Then we say, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm living for the Lord. All right, well, the Bible says if you say that you abide in Him, then you ought also to walk even as He walked. If we say we are the children of God, we ought to walk like we're the children of God. If we say we're saved, we ought to walk like we're saved, talk like we're saved. If we say that we know the Lord Jesus and love Him, we ought to walk like He walked while He was on earth. But how can we? By the reality of a little word. You see, God wants to do something in you to make you more like Jesus Christ. And God is trying to conform us, and the little word that enables Him to do so more effectively is the little word, L-E-T. Let. We need to let God do His conforming work. We need to let God do that perfecting work. How? By letting God have His way and do His work in at least three areas we'll look at tonight. Number one, God's work in our mind. If you'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verse 5. God's work in our mind. God began a work. He began working in and on your mind the moment you got saved. Philippians 2:5. Look what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That word let means allow. To allow God to form within our mind the mind of Christ. This is not so easy as it sounds. When God found us in our unregenerate state, our minds were at odds with God's mind. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Colossians 1:21, and you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's how God found us. So God began a work in our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. So God said, now that you're mine, I got to re-educate you. Now that you're mine, we're going to renew that mind of yours. That's right. Now that you're my child, I'm going to start helping you think like I think. God wants to renew our minds so that we can receive and know the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Here's the question. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Where is the wisdom of this world? And where does it come from? The wisdom of this world comes from sinful minds at enmity with God. Think about that. The wisdom of this world comes from sinful minds at enmity with God. The wisdom of this world is compiled by men and women who have no greater source of understanding than themselves. Well, what about the great sages and the great philosophers? They didn't have any more than their own minds. Their own unregenerate, sinful minds trying to understand the questions that man can't answer by himself. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Only God's word has the answers to that. Not unregenerate man, not the wisdom of this world. You can buy book after book of philosophy, but it's only the teachings of unregenerate minds trying to grapple with eternal realities. They have no greater experiences than themselves, no greater counselors than themselves. You say, well, I don't know. You know, one philosopher was counseled by philosophers before him. So what? You go back as far as you want to go, you end up with a human being, right? If it's the wisdom of this world. no greater reference point than themselves. No wonder God calls the wisdom of this world foolishness. But God desires to develop in His children a wisdom that is from a higher source, He Himself. And a wisdom of a greater mind, His mind. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him read the Britannica. No. If any of you lack wisdom, go read Nietzsche. No. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. And this wisdom can only be received by a regenerate mind. Now then, the carnal mind was, is, and always will be at enmity with God. But there is another mind, a spiritual mind, that the believer can have. Philippians calls it the mind of Christ. And how? How can that be possible? Because Christ is in us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As Christians, we have the carnal mind that we were born with, the fleshly mind, the human mind. But we also have the opportunity to have the mind of Christ, a spiritual mind, a divine mind. Because 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. And that little word let is the key. We are to let this mind be in you. In other words, God's trying to get it in you. God is trying to work it in you. God's trying to renew your mind. And the Bible just saying, let him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want to keep our own mind. We want to hold on to our stinking thinking. We want to hold on to our traditions. We want to hold on to the things that we've been taught in this world. It's so hard for us to give those up. But he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is the wanting the mind of Christ. It is the submitting to the mind of Christ and allowing our minds to be renewed through the Word of God by the Spirit of God so that we start to think like Jesus. So God found you in a mess. Your mind was a mess.
That's right.
And he said, I want to start renewing that mind. I want to start giving you wisdom that only comes from heaven. I want to start giving you understanding and knowledge and wisdom that only comes from my word. I want to start renewing your mind so you can have the mind of Christ operating in you. Isn't that a great thing?
Yes.
And he said, let it. Let this mind. Some of us are like this. I don't want that mind of Christ. He said, just let it. Let this mind be in you. In other words, he's willing. Are you? Let's go to number two. God not only works in our mind, but number two, God works in our heart. Go to Colossians chapter 3. God works in our heart. The moment you got saved, God began a good work in your heart. Colossians 3, verse 15. Look at there what it says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Just as God is working to conform our thinking to the mind of Christ, he's working to conform our hearts to the heart of Christ. When God found us, we were most hard-hearted. We had a love for the world, but we didn't have a love for God. That's just a hard, cold truth. We had religion, but not relationship. We had works, but not salvation. And we had love, but not the love of God. And now that we're the children of God, he wants his peace to rule in our hearts. That means when we have peace, when the peace of God is ruling in our heart and fear comes, peace rules. Puts down the fear. It puts down the anxiety. It puts down those things that trouble our hearts. Why? Because it's ruling. That's what God wants. But he said let, didn't he? You got to let that peace rule. We're such an anxious people. We're anxiety ridden, especially in the 21st century. Now that we're the children of God, he wants his peace to rule in our hearts, not the chaos of the world, not the hatred of the world, not the selfishness of the world, and not the godlessness of the world. In Jeremiah, he spoke to this in verses 13 and 14. He said, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone that dealeth falsely, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of thy people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Right. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." That's man in his unregenerate state. That's the world without God. "Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way." Here it is. "And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." The way of peace they have not known. That's the world. You know how many peace treaties we've made on this planet? And every one of them was broken. Everybody wants world peace. There will be no world peace ever until Jesus comes. I don't care who's president. I don't care whose army's the biggest. There's never going to be world peace until Jesus comes. And we can say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Do you know how many times nations lie to one another and say, peace, peace, only to get what they want? Only to try to get an upper hand or try to trick somebody or play somebody. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're not looking for peace. They're looking for power. But God's at work bringing to the believer's heart a peace that passeth all understanding. John 14, 27. "Peace," Jesus said, "I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Here it is. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Is it possible for your heart to be troubled? Sure. Is it possible for your heart to be afraid? Yes. Why? Because you let it. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." What do you mean, "let not my heart be troubled"? I've given you my peace. "Let not your heart be afraid." Why? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You following me here? Yeah. Our natural sinful heart only knows fear and trouble and anxiety. But God says we are to allow his peace to rule in our hearts. We can make the peace of God to be the king on the throne of our heart. God does not want his people anxious or fearful or distressed or afraid. He wants them to have the peace of God that he alone can give. Now, I'm thankful for all the peace treaties that President Trump has been bringing about. I'm thankful for that, but that's not what keeps my heart in peace. I'm thankful that I live in America. It's not as peaceful as it used to be. But I still have a peace in my heart that doesn't come from the peace of society. It comes from God. But even the Lord's disciples, in his very presence, grappled with fear and a hard heart. Mark 4:40. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You see, they were fearful because they didn't have peace, because they didn't have faith. In who? In Jesus. In Mark 6:52, "For they considered not the miracles of loaves, for their heart was hardened." And then again in Mark 8:17, "And when the disciples knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened?" So in chapter 4, he says, "You're fearful because you don't have faith. You're not trusting me. My peace isn't ruling in your heart." And then in 2 more chapters, he says that your heart is hardened. And then 2 more chapters later, he says, "Your heart is yet hardened. Haven't you learned anything?" Peace cannot rule in our hearts when we have no faith and when we fail to consider the miracles that he's done already in our lives. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation and God brought you through it that you bring peace in the next situation? Have you ever had a need that God provided for in a miraculous way? Well, that should give you peace in your next need. See how it works? You have faith. And when you have faith, the peace of God. Let the peace of God. God said, "I want my peace to rule. I want my peace to rule. I want my peace to rule." Let it, let it, let it, let it. God wants his peace to rule in our hearts. A peace that only he can give. But we must allow that peace to dwell in our hearts. How? By faith, trusting God's word, and by leaning on the everlasting arms. We must be careful not to allow the world and its situations and circumstances with its troubles and tribulations and with its problems and persecutions to rob us of the peace that is available through faith. And so God says, "Man, when I found you, your head was a mess. So I'm working at renewing that mind. And would you let the mind of Christ be in you? Would you let me do that?" God says, "When I found you, your hearts were a mess. They were hard. They were fearful." He said, I want to give you peace. Will you let me? Will you let that peace rule in your heart?" And then 3, God works in our spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. "If we live in the spirit," here it is, "let us also walk in the spirit." Now, what does that mean if we are living in the Spirit? We are alive in Christ by his Spirit. It's his Spirit that quickens us or makes us alive spiritually. And that's a done deal. It's a true fact. It's an irreversible condition. Christ has done that. But now God wants us to walk in the Spirit. He said, "You have life in the Spirit. You're alive by the Spirit of God. You live because you have the Spirit of God within you. Now walk in the Spirit," or live the life that the Spirit wants you to live. Well, it means to walk in the Spirit of Christ, having the Spirit of God directing our paths, establishing our goings, and ordering our steps. It means being filled with the Spirit and thereby led of the Spirit with the result of walking in the Spirit. It's living our lives as he would have us to live them, not as we wish to live them. The spirit of man is in contradiction to the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh," that's the spirit of man, "lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. And it will be that way until the day we die." The spirit of man wants to go one way, wants to go the way of the world. And the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, wants to go another way. That's the way of God. And so the Spirit, capital S, speaking of the Spirit of God, lusteth. That word lusteth means desires. Is jealous of and desires. And the flesh is jealous of and desires. And the flesh is, the old nature is trying to take us this way. And the Spirit of God is trying to take us this way. And there's a little word in the middle. Let. How about the word yield? Yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Therefore, we are told to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. That's a choice, isn't it? How about let? You think the Holy Spirit wants to fill you? Yeah. Why don't you let Him? When we're filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, then we will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Pay attention. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then in James 1:4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The fruit of the Spirit's long-suffering has a maturing work in our spirit, in our spirit. We're naturally impatient, right? I mean, we don't want to wait for nothing. I remember when Mr. Coffee came out. Remember Mr. Coffee, the original Mr. Coffee used? Before that, you had to have like a thing on the stove with a thing on top and water perking up through it and dripping down through it. And then you got a Mr. Coffee and you pushed a button. And it did it all by itself. Man, that was great, wasn't it? Until we got Keurig. Now he said, that Mr. Coffee's too slow. We're too impatient. So we have a Keurig, right? Well, now, that, I had an old Keurig. I bought an old Keurig like a long time ago, and I've been using it forever, and it finally broke. I went out and got a new one, and it's like instant. I mean, really, you get one of those new Keurigs, you push the button, you push the ounces, and you push start, and within, I'm telling you, a couple of seconds, you have coffee coming out. I'm like dancing around. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. The only thing faster is Star Trek. Earl Grey, hot. Man, when that comes out, I'm getting it. Amen? We're just naturally impatient. We tap our toe, we tap our fingers. Huh? The human spirit is short. We're naturally short. What? You know, we're short, aren't we? We get cranky and we get short. We're impetuous in our nature. And that's how we're going to be unless we allow ourselves to walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. Unless we desire to be led of the Spirit instead of led of the flesh. If we're led of the flesh, we're impatient, we're short, we're impetuous, we're cranky, we're miserable. But we're Christians. Well, at least I'm going to heaven. Well, praise God you're going to heaven, but you got to be miserable while you're here on earth. No, let us walk in the Spirit. And we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God is trying to do a work in us, a work that's desperately needed, a work of perfecting, maturing, and conforming us to be more and more like Jesus. Our natural man desires the exact opposite, and both desire the control of our mind, our hearts, and our spirit, and thereby our walk. We can go one way or the other. We can be conformed to the world, or we can be conformed to Christ. We can walk in the flesh, or we can walk in the Spirit. And the key is a little tiny word called let. Wisdom, peace, love, and victory are in the balance of who and what we let. We cannot blame others. Circumstances, situations, provocations, or tribulation for God is there to get us through them all. He's there to get us through them all after the manner of Christ in accordance with His Word and by the power of His Spirit. The problem's not with God's willingness to do it. The problem is with our willingness to let Him do it. I think some people like to be miserable. I really do. I'm talking about Christians. I think some people like to worry. But God said, let this mind be in you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And let us walk in the Spirit. That's the victorious Christian life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Christian, too often we're not aware or maybe not willing to be aware of God's working in us. Maybe we like the person we are in the flesh more than the person we are in the Spirit. Maybe we're more comfortable yielding to the flesh than to the Spirit, but the wisdom, the peace, the love, and the walk that is like Him can only be found by letting Him have His way. Perhaps tonight you just need to let God. Perhaps tonight you're here and you're not even saved. God's desire is for you to be saved from the punishment of your sin in the eternal lake of fire. The spirit of man and His religions say, work, work your way. But the Spirit of God says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. God's desire is to have you as His own child by virtue of the new birth, a spiritual birth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's someone in this room tonight that if you were honest with God and with me and with yourself, you'd have to say, I'm not saved. I've never been born again by the Spirit of God, but I want to be. You know, you can be right there in your seat. It's a transaction between you and God by faith. You say, preacher, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be born into God's family tonight. Would you help me? We'll pray together. Would you lift your hand up? Say, I'm right here. I'm right here. I know I need to be saved, and I'm willing to be saved right here in my seat. If God will have me, I'll have Him. Anybody like that here tonight? Just slip your hand up. It's just us. No one else is looking. Dear Heavenly Father, how we thank You and praise You for the truths of Your Word, for Your involvement in our lives, for Your desire to work in us and through us for Your glory and for the salvation of sinners. And I just pray, my Father, You'd help us to incorporate this little word, let, more and more and more in our lives, that we'll just let You have Your way. We'll let You do Your work. We'll let You conform us. We'll let You make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to confess the areas of our weakness and look to You for that strength. And we'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, please. We're going to sing 586, Pass Me Not. Perhaps tonight, dear Christian, you'd like to come and say, Lord, I'm going to let You. I know there's an area of my life that needs a little letting to be done. I'm letting You tonight. And maybe you need to get saved tonight. You didn't raise your hand a while ago, but maybe you wish you had. I met a man one time. I preached at a camp. He was there. I met him a couple years later, and he said to me, you know, I was in that meeting, and you said, raise your hand if you want to get saved. I wanted to raise it so bad. He said, I just never did, and I've been regretting it all these years. Would you lead me to Christ? Can you imagine? Don't be that guy. Get saved now. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now's the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're singing 586. You can come and pray, Christian. You can come and get saved if you want to. I'll meet you right at the front.